For many areas across the region, football fields are filled in June and July with teams getting ready for the upcoming season. The competition is fierce and the tackling, punishing. This field is no different, but the players are. This is the home of the Philadelphia Firebirds of the IWFL. And yes, they're women. And yes, whatever your reaction is, they've heard it before.
Girls can't play football. I get it all the time. Girls can't play football. Until I say, all right, meet me out on the field, and I outrun them or I tackle them, it's the end. It's the end. It's like, oh, never mind. You know how to play.
Actually, I get mixed reactions. I think some people are like, oh, you do that? Why do you do that? And then I've been in the workplace covered in bruises looking like a cheetah. And I've had a woman slide me a domestic violence brochure across the counter and say, honey, you don't have to live like this. Then I also get really, really positive responses. A little 11-year-old girl who's come out to watch. And she's like, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can play too. So you really get the full gamut of responses.
They think I'm crazy. Never, ever heard of a woman's tackle football team in their years. A lot of people think that we're lingerie. It's totally different than lingerie football.
Most people are like, wow, I didn't even know about it. You know, and then when I tell them how long we've been around for over 10 years, they're like, I didn't even hear about you guys. You know, how was that? And, you know, they want to come out and check out a game. And most of them do. And I tell them, look, you come out and check out one of our games, you're going to enjoy the game.
The hits are the same. The strategy is the same. The plays are the same. If you watch one of our games and don't know what gender is underneath that uniform, you will never know the difference.
Burns on three. One, two, three.
Burns! I treat my ladies just like I treated my boys in my college teams. I run the same plays. I don't dummify nothing.
Coach Trapp, I would not say, is a soft coach. He tells you very directly, you messed that up, do it again. You messed that up, do it again. And he will stay on you until you do it again.
Gotta stay low, and if it's a slant, you gotta get there.
Most men come up, they're going into Pee Wee leagues to talk wrong, how to block. So here, you can just teach everything right from the ground up.
Practices usually are Tuesday and Thursday, and then over the weekend, if we don't have a game, we'd like to throw in another practice there. They're usually 2-2.5 hours. We start with a lap or two laps, our warm-ups, our agilities, several different exercises, the stretches. We then break down into whatever it is that the coach has as an agenda for the day. We could be doing routes that day, usually linemen and receivers or backs and cornerback. But it's a long, grueling process that always ends with conditioning also. Then you have to drive home. You probably missed dinner. You probably just shoved a protein bar in your mouth, drank a bottle of water. You're getting home. Significant others can be like, I'm hungry. What do you want to do? You were gone so long. Then you have to pack your lunch, go to sleep for the next day, and wake up and go to work at 7 a.m.
The challenge is this just being a semi-pro league. The girls actually have to work. We don't get to practice 5 days a week before the game. We only get 2 days of practice. So that's the more of the bigger challenge, that you have to try to get enough stuff in those 2 days.
Go!
It takes a special woman to play for the Firebirds and a special woman to run the team. Tawana Grayson is a jack, or in this case, Jill, of all trades. She rents fields, hires trainers, finds sponsors, works on the website, and on top of all that, recruits players and coaches.
With coaches, it's a lot of word of mouth, you know. And then I also go to a lot of games during the off season, which our off season is everybody else's season. So, you know, I check out a lot of football games, especially if there's some coaches that I'm interested in looking at. You know, it's looking at the different offense, defenses that they run, whatever I'm looking for. And then with players, it's the same thing. You know, I go to flag games, I go to two-hand rough touch games, I go to basketball games. You know, we recruit. If you look like an athlete, we'll talk to you on the street, you know. What other sport can you literally just, we say, you know, hit up and get away with it. And actually, I've had a couple of people, I've said, you know, this is a place where you can come work your frustrations, because you can just tear into somebody and nothing's going to happen, you know, except for the coach might say, good hit.
Giving big hits may bring players in, but taking big hits pushes players to the exit. The other thing that weeds out prospective players, money.
Probably the biggest challenge, I guess, would be the financial aspect. You know, a lot of girls want to play, but, you know, realistically, a lot of girls don't have that money to play. And unfortunately, we don't have enough sponsorship where we can lower things like that. So, you know, we have a lot of girls that have come out, and once they hear about that cost, no matter how much they love it, they know that there's no way they can make it happen.
It's literally $2,000 to play. Jerseys are expensive. Equipment is expensive. We don't get enough money. We're a nonprofit.
Some people see it as, if I'm dishing out all of this money, am I going to start? Am I going to play, period? And if not, then what?
With the time and costs involved, the punishment to their bodies, and the prospect of not even playing in the games, what keeps these women coming back?
The thing that keeps me coming back is I just love the game. I look forward to it all year. I train in the off season. We stay together in the off season a lot of times. We do outreaches, we go to colleges, we try to recruit together in the off season, and that helps us keep together as a team so that when we do back into the season, the natural excitement of the game itself keeps you in.
I love what I do. I'm very passionate, loyal, dedicated to drive 2 hours. Some people even take a bus. You know, ever since day one, we have a niche family. They're hardworking, they're dedicated, and sometimes they have kids. They're doctors, they're lawyers, and they're just so passionate. There is no set age. I mean, you can be 42 and be playing your first time playing women's football, and being around them really makes me better as a person, but also a football player.
Not only did I gain friends, I gained a family. Although the season didn't go how we planned, I gained sisters. That's something that you don't get often. After every single game, we all go out to eat. And we tell everybody, you know what, good game. It may not been how, you know, we planned, but good game.
Every year I say, I am done. I am so tired of this. But I love the sport. You know, it's nothing like, you know, like I said, we were in North Carolina this weekend. It was a very close game. It was 6-6 in the fourth quarter. You know, and they had a grass field. It was rain. And it's like, what better game, you know, can you do right now? And it's that brings out that passion, that joy, that excitement. It's like, all right, we're going to keep doing it.
Doesn't matter about money. It's all about that love you have, passion for the game.
Try it. You can't knock it until you try it. For real, because I used to always say, even playing basketball during track and field, you know, you always have that one person say, oh, you can't do it. Until you actually go out and doing it, something different. And this is experience that you won't ever, ever get.